What a friend we have in Jesus. If you've lived in the church as long as I have, you might remember that old Sunday school hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? I loved that song. So what does it mean when Jesus tells you, you are my friend? What do you expect of a friend? What should a friend expect of you? For instance, your Facebook friend. Well, I expect mine to at least like my posts once in a while, you know. Sometimes we expect our Facebook friends to read, absorb, and integrate some event in our lives that we post. That may not be practical, but we still often expect it. You know, if you're really my friend, you'll remember and respond to what I said. And Facebook is adamant that you wish all your friends a happy birthday. And then there are other friends. Some of them are based on proximity. Your friends because you're in the same class or in the same neighborhood. Amiable people that share space with you. And when you move on out of that place, you keep in touch for a while, but after a while, the connection withers. Or they're the friends that you have based on your shared interests. Perhaps the mutual expectations here that ones around you are helping you fulfill needs that you have in pursuing those interests. Or those colleagues that are friends because we share work and we help each other and become partners in our journey of our vocations. All of these may or may not become lifetime friends for whom you would sacrifice time or money or comfort or your other plans. For that kind of friend is the kind of friend that Jesus is talking about. Someone who will be there when you need them, no matter how inconvenient it is for you. This kind of friend is the kind that friend that knows your flaws and chooses to live with them. It's someone who knows you're always late and still makes plans to meet you. Someone who knows you're untidy and still lets you use their space. Someone who knows you chatter on and still calls you on the phone. This kind of friend doesn't desert you when you do something that has long-term consequences for yourself or others. Consequences like permanent injury, prison, addiction. Sometimes we talk about the family analogy of God as our Father and we're all brothers and sisters, an analogy that's referenced in the Bible reading as everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. A wonderful analogy, one that we use all the time in church. That family analogy teaches us that God will never desert us no matter what. The parent does not abandon the child. But in using the friend analogy, Jesus goes further. Knowing that, as they say, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends, he tells us, you did not choose me, I chose you to be my friends. This is called election. Jesus says, you have been elected. You are elect. You are God's chosen people. It also says that we don't have the freedom to choose to befriend Jesus. You can unfriend Jesus, but only Jesus can invite you to be his friend. And with his friendship comes is love. Not romantic love, not the parental love of God that God has for all people, not the affection that you have for your pet or your country, but the love between friends. Sometimes we call it brotherly love. Love between equals. Jesus says, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. There are no secrets. There's no secret formula in knowing what God wants or what God is like. Jesus has revealed to you and me everything that God is about. He came to reveal to us a God who does not punish, who is not capricious, who wants the best for us, who shows us how to be the best people we can be, and shows us in Jesus how to live whole and fulfilled, and who comes to us in mercy and forgiveness when we fail, and who infinitely invites us to start over. Jesus has put us on equal terms with him in knowing the character of this God. And you have been chosen to know this and to understand that God wills good for everyone. So, how does being a chosen insider friend of Jesus make you feel? Smug? Being chosen, like getting an award, even one that you didn't earn or request? Guess what? That's not the point. Being chosen to be Jesus' friend is more like getting a draft notice from the government. Because this friendship love of Jesus involves obedience. As we heard, the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And the command is, as Jesus says, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. And I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Well, Jesus, this all sounds very lovely. But even assuming that your spirit actually motivates me enough that I do these loving acts, how do I decide what they should be? Figuring out the loving thing to do or say is not easy for me. Think about when someone has to make a medical decision for a loved one. It's agonizing. And often people that have to do this live with the guilt around it for a long time, whether or not they did the right thing. Or think about the decisions about how to deal with someone who's making poor life choices. When does loving become enabling? And that's where Jesus invites you to turn to prayer for help. Jesus gives you a friend's help. Ask your friend Jesus. That's what friends are for. He says, I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. So in bearing lasting and wholesome fruit, in producing God's desired outcome, you will get the help that you need whenever you ask for it. Asking as a friend of Jesus, with the same understanding of God's will for the person that you're helping that Jesus has. Sometimes in this promise, we miss the so that part. And we just hear, the Father will give you anything you ask in my name. Clearly, Jesus is not promising that God will give me all the chocolate I want as long as I tack in Jesus' name onto the end of the prayer. What Jesus is giving you is hope. Hope that God will be in and with you in your obedience to that command to love. That hope does not mean certainty that what you do, that the choice you will make, it doesn't guarantee that it will be perfect. Hope is not the certainty that the outcome will be perfect. Hope is the certainty that what you are doing is worth doing, no matter what the outcome. Hope is the certainty that what you do is worth doing, no matter how it turns out. When you pray for something in Jesus' name, like for help in working on a just cause or helping an addict, then Jesus promises that no matter the outcome, God will bless your efforts and bless the journey. God promises to be in the moment, in the fruit that you bear today. We're offered the kind of hope that's held by the hospice community. The hope for the patient who's in hospice is not that that person will get well, but the hope for them is to live out the rest of their life as well as possible. We are given the hope, not that all will be perfect, but that all will be well. And in holding that hope, we are more than conquerors. Fear is conquered, death is conquered, and all is well. And for that we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.